This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Imagine a world where a simple scratch on your hand could be fatal, where surgeries and medical procedures would put you at risk of infection. For most of human history, that was everyday life, living in fear of infections with no tools to combat it. Then, in 1928, something truly unexpected happened. Suddenly, diseases that would wipe out entire communities can be controlled with a simple medicine. And that medicine is antibiotics. With this, we have been able to transform modern healthcare, saving countless lives. But with this significant accomplishment comes challenges. The bacteria that the antibiotics are targeting are becoming resistant, and this revolutionary medicine is becoming less effective, pushing us towards a future that looks a lot like the past. In this podcast, we're going to explore the story of antibiotics, how they were first discovered and developed into modern medicines, and why they remain essential as we confront the increasing threat of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. For centuries, humans have treated wounds using fungal mold. This is the earliest known use to treat infections, and it was surprisingly widespread practice. There have been descriptions of ancient Egyptians using moldy bread, as well as ancient Chinese and Greeks using mixtures containing mold to treat surface infections. But we never quite understood how it all worked, or how these moldy remedies helped wounds heal. And that didn't become clear until the 20th century, when scientist Alexander Fleming discovered the true source of the mold's antibacterial properties. Alexander Fleming, a Scottish bacteriologist working at St Mary's Hospital in London, had already built a reputation for his sharp scientific insight. His research on wound infection, along with his discovery of the digestive enzyme lysozyme in 1922, showed his talent for noticing subtle patterns that others often overlooked. Lysozyme was significant because it revealed that the body had natural substances that could break down bacteria and protect tissues from infection. But it only works on a narrow range of microbes. So despite its promise, the following years hadn't really led to any major breakthroughs. Until September of 1928, when he went on holiday for 2 weeks, because when he returned to his lab, he found something astounding. Before he left, he had been working with petri dishes of Staphylococcus. And while he was away, a petri dish had been contaminated with mold. At first, it looked like a ruined experiment. Contamination is the last thing you want in a lab. But as he examined it more closely, something caught his eye. He noticed that surrounding each one of these blue-green spots of mold was a clearing. Something in that mold had prevented the bacteria from growing and had even killed them. Fleming recognized that this discovery was groundbreaking. Staphylococcus wasn't just any bacteria. It was a major cause of deadly infections at the time, and there were no effective treatments for it. So finding something that could kill the Staphylococcus was truly amazing. He continued to investigate the antibacterial substance that was produced by the mold, which he named penicillin, and published his findings soon after in 1929. But the excitement around this discovery faded pretty quickly, and Fleming hit a bit of a roadblock. He knew penicillin had huge potential, but he lacked the tools necessary to purify it or produce it in large amounts. For Fleming to turn penicillin into a medicine, he would need to separate the useful antibacterial part from all the other stuff in the mold, making it effective, stable, and safe for human use. However, Fleming's expertise was mainly in bacteriology, and not in the kind of chemistry that would be needed to purify a new drug. So, without a way to turn it into medicine, his research didn't seem very useful. And because of this, the science community showed little interest in his findings, and instead focused on other areas of research. But it is worth noting that discoveries like this would often take years before anyone realizes how important it is. And at the time, antibiotics weren't even a recognized field. The whole concept of it just didn't exist yet. With most researchers unable to grasp the significance of what Fleming had stumbled upon, it is no surprise that his discovery has slipped under the radar. What seemed like a dead end in the 1920s later became one of the most important breakthroughs, because the story doesn't end there. Almost 10 years later, in 1937, scientists Ernst Chain and Howard Florey uncovered Fleming's research. They realized that if penicillin could kill bacteria without harming human cells in the process, it would transform medicine. So, they assembled a team of scientists in the hopes to purify and develop penicillin into a medicine. And this was not easy work. It involved growing large quantities of mold, extracting tiny amounts of the active compound, and battling contamination. While having a few difficulties with extracting penicillin and not having high enough concentrations needed for medicine, they were slowly succeeding. By 1940, they had produced enough purified penicillin to test on mice, and the results were astonishing. Only the four mice that were given penicillin survived. The infections that were normally fatal simply disappeared. But producing penicillin on a larger scale, where it could treat humans, was impossible for a small lab. Then came World War II, and suddenly the need for a new drug that could stop infected wounds became urgent. And so the United States joined the effort, and pharmaceutical companies raced to find ways to mass-produce penicillin. The end result was staggering. They were now producing billions of doses of penicillin, and the effects of this were immediate. Among Allied soldiers, the mortality rate dropped by about 12 to 15%. Its effects saved thousands of soldiers during the war. Almost overnight, with the advancements of penicillin, diseases like pneumonia and tuberculosis were brought under control. People no longer needed to worry about losing a whole limb over a tiny cut. Women giving birth were far less likely to die from infections, and suddenly, surgeries and even organ transplants became possible in ways they never were before. And that's the part we often forget. Antibiotics didn't just cure infections, they prevented them from happening, making modern medicine possible. Everything from routine surgeries to chemotherapy and organ transplants rely on antibiotics to prevent infections. Without antibiotics, these treatments become far riskier. Penicillin was revolutionary. But it was only the start. Once scientists realized you could target bacteria without harming human cells, the search for new antibiotics exploded. Researchers discovered whole new families of drugs. Some antibiotics were found when researchers began testing soil for bacteria with antibiotic properties. Some were also found in different types of fungi, and others were even created by modifying natural compounds. And each group could work in slightly different ways, and could treat different infections. For the first time in history, the once life-threatening infections are now treatable. But it didn't stay this way for long, because while these drugs saved many lives, the bacteria were evolving and becoming resistant to antibiotics. To understand this better, let's go into how antibiotics actually work. Antibiotics are used to target bacteria in ways that human cells don't, and different antibiotics use different strategies. Some break down the bacteria's cell wall, causing the bacteria to burst. Others disrupt protein synthesis. Bacteria need to constantly make proteins to survive, and without protein synthesis, the bacteria can't repair themselves or grow. Other antibiotics stop the bacteria from copying their DNA, which prevents them from multiplying, so the infection can't spread. When an antibiotic does this, it weakens or kills the bacteria, which is great. No more bacteria, no more infection, you're healthy. Except this doesn't always happen. Bacteria reproduce rapidly, and there can sometimes be errors or mutations when replicating. While most mutations are harmful or make no change, there can sometimes be a mutation that gives the bacteria an advantage, which can include the ability to survive antibiotics. And over time, these bacteria multiply, dominating the population with their antibiotic resistance. But this isn't just a new problem. The first signs appeared as soon as they were introduced. In the 1940s, just a few years after penicillin was first used, doctors had noticed that there were cases where the medicine just didn't work anymore. And later on, by 1950s and 60s, as new antibiotics were being discovered and used as medicine, the same thing happened. The bacteria had eventually gained antibiotic resistance. And today, this is a global issue. In 2019, resistance in bacteria directly caused over 1.2 million deaths and was a contributing factor in nearly 5 million. These numbers show just how serious antibiotic resistance has become and displays why the World Health Organization has called this one of the top global health threats. In the early days, resistance did show up, but it wasn't a crisis because new antibiotics kept coming. If one drug stopped working, doctors could just switch to another. But that stream of new drugs slowed down, and we haven't had a new class of antibiotics reach the market since 1987. So, what are we doing about this? Well, relying on antibiotics alone won't get us anywhere. Instead, researchers are looking for completely different kinds of treatments. And one promising alternative includes the use of a virus called bacteriophage, or phage for short. Whenever I think of a virus, I usually picture coronavirus, or the flu, viral infections that are pretty harmful to humans. But bacteriophages are generally harmless to us, just not bacteria. This virus can selectively kill specific types of bacteria, and they can even be tailored to individual bacterial infections, including those that are resistant to antibiotics. And the cool thing is, phage therapy isn't just an idea. It actually works. A review on the efficacy of the phage therapy looked at almost 2,000 patients treated with phages over the last 2 decades. These were people with infections so resistant that standard antibiotics had become completely ineffective. And yet 78.8% of the patients showed improvement, with 86.7% of the patients having the bacteria completely wiped out. But, of course, phage therapy isn't perfect yet. There haven't been any big clinical trials, and making personalized phages takes time, which isn't ideal for fast-moving infections that can quickly become life-threatening. Still, governments are beginning to invest in phage research and help push it into mainstream medicine. And this isn't the only solution scientists are working on. They're exploring several other approaches which could help reshape how we treat bacterial infections. An exciting area of research involves antimicrobial peptides, which humans actually make naturally. These peptides are part of our immune system's fast first response defense against any pathogen that enters the body. And you can sort of think of the antimicrobial peptides as tiny needles that poke holes in the bacteria's membrane. With a damaged membrane, the bacteria can't hold itself together and quickly dies. But we don't make enough of these peptides for them to stop every infection, which is why we need antibiotics. But maybe we won't, because scientists are now creating stronger or more stable versions of these peptides in the lab, inspired by the ones found in humans, animals, and plants. Scientists are also experimenting with CRISPR-based antimicrobials, which use gene editing technologies to precisely target and disable resistant genes and bacteria. Instead of killing the bacteria, the CRISPR tools can remove the genes that make them resistant, which essentially makes the bacteria sensitive to antibiotics again. These are only 3 examples of what scientists are working on right now. Whether it's killing the bacteria in new ways or simply resensitizing them to antibiotics, these new alternatives show that the future of treating antibiotics may look very different from the past and make us far less dependent on antibiotics. But even with all these scientific advances, the future of antibiotics isn't just in the hands of researchers. It's in ours too. The misuse and overuse of antibiotics is a driving factor in the resistance of bacteria. And one of the most common forms of misuse is not finishing the full course. Every time antibiotics are used incorrectly, by stopping early, it leaves behind the strongest and most resistant bacteria, which then multiply, leaving you with a much bigger problem than what you had before. But preventing infections in the first place is just as important. By washing hands regularly, staying home when you're sick, and following safe food practices, as well as staying up to date with vaccinations, these simple habits all contribute to preventing infections before they even happen. The fewer infections we get, the fewer antibiotics we need, and so bacteria have far less chance to evolve resistance. And this isn't just an individual responsibility. It's a global one that requires cooperation and awareness across every country. Although antibiotic resistance affects countries in all regions and at all income levels, some countries are more affected than others. In many low and middle income countries that often face limited access to clean water, sanitation, or reliable healthcare, infections spread more easily, and antibiotics are used more often, accelerating resistance. And when these resistant bacteria emerge, they don't just stay in one place. They can move through water, food, animals, and international travel. That's why protecting antibiotics requires global action by improving healthcare systems and supporting responsible antibiotic use everywhere. With this, we can ensure that antibiotics continue to protect us, because once they're gone, they're incredibly hard to replace. And when you think about it, this isn't the first time the world has faced a turning point like this. Alexander Fleming didn't set out to change medicine. There were no big experiments he was running in the hopes for the next big medical breakthrough. He just happened to stumble upon something strange growing in a petri dish. And suddenly, this bit of mold shifted the entire future of medicine. But moving forward today won't rely on chance discoveries alone. It will take global cooperation, responsible antibiotic use, and the kind of science innovation that can create world-changing solutions. And it also depends on you. By preventing infections, keeping up to date with vaccinations, and completing the full course when you're prescribed antibiotics, the everyday choices you make can help protect this medicine we all rely on.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.